I'll just the level of let's see if I can pull it up here. Okay. All right, this is what he said. He said, oh yeah, thank you so much for the food and fellowship. We truly love the relationship and bond we have formed. So that was really neat. Neat expression from man Luke, who's leading the jail and doing a good job there. And so we're glad to partner with him. So be in prayer for the jail ministry this week and even this afternoon. Still needs to be met. There's particular individual that turned in a testimony, and so they turned in a testimony of his life, really, not a testimony of salvation. So we want to be able to follow up with that. And others want to be baptized, and so we get a chance to go over the gospel. And so a lot of good opportunities are constantly there. So. Oh, yes. Okay, yes, all right. Put smoked turkey on the hamburger. That's a good idea. So, excellent. Yes, Becky? Okay. Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, let's continue to pray for Becky as it's getting closer and closer, and looks C-section has been confirmed. So, pray that God will continue to be with the little one, and this really is a miracle of life. So, we'll pray that God will watch over as only He can. So, all right. Yes. Oh, wow. Amen. Well, that is a blessing. And God knows how to provide for us. And okay. All right. We'll pray for Elsa and her shoulders that be able to find a way to decrease that pain. So that's important. So, yes, Ernie. Oh. Okay. Very good. Oh, that would be wonderful for Easter. So, all right. Praise for Ernie and a friend. Will come on Easter and hear the gospel. That'd be wonderful. So, very good. Yes. Okay. All right. So, thank you for letting us know about the impact of that ministry. That's good. And we're thankful for that. And we'll pray for niece Hannah and two boys. The Lord will protect and give wisdom. Yes, sir. Brother James. Okay. Okay. All right. So the Calgrins, little Corbin and Shannon, but there, and his name is Jace. Jace. Okay. Get that right this time. So we thank the Lord for that update, and every week is a good thing. So, yes. Okay, unspoken. I'm sure there are others as well. We'll remember yours here. So, I think I saw another hand. Yes, sir. Okay. Amen. Very good. So, all right, praise the Lord for Nelson. Good report for him, and also for a good conversation with Kelsey's mom and stepdad, and just paving the way for the gospel in their lives. So continue. Very good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyone else? Add to these. Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. We'll pray for Kim and neighbors there, and pray that they'll come to the, maybe the first step will be Easter sunrise service, so that'd be good. So we'll look for them there. So. Okay, very good. Anyone else? Prayer request or praise to add to these? Yes. Amen. Good. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I was like, whew, heard you're on a motorcycle, so. Yeah. It doesn't take a little bit to fall asleep on a motorcycle. Okay. We were praying that the bugs would be hitting you so fast, you know, it just... You couldn't. All right, we're glad you made it back. So, all right. Anyone else? Oh, yes. Yes. I don't know the name either, but there was a missionary in South Africa that a lot of kidnappings going on in South Africa at this time, and so I guess they supported up at. I forget the, come on, Prescott. Yeah, so I think they support the missionary there. So anyway, so it's close to home, so it's a Baptist missionary. And so four kids, I think, maybe five kids. I can't, the husband was kidnapped during the service. They came in at gunpoint and took him away, and he's not been located or heard from since. So, so yeah, that's Sullivan, okay. Okay, so Joshua Sullivan. Look at there, just don't rat ransom, yeah. So. Sobering, and they are counted worthy to suffer for his name, so let's pray for them, and hold them in high regard here, that God would bless them. And there's a purpose in that. You know, God has brought him into their midst, and I pray that he will, while he has life, if that, that he'll, as I understand, there may be others that he may be kidnapped with. So he's a gospel witness is getting to a dark place. And so we'll pray for God to bring good out of that situation. So, oh, yes, that's true. Very good. And we can pray for the Roberts that, there's a lot of political tension there. And so be in prayer for our missionaries in South Africa. So. All right. Anyone else? Okay. If that's everything, we'll go ahead and take our Bibles and begin reading in Romans 16, 1 through 16. I think the last time we get to read through these names. Anybody need more time? If you do, you're trying too hard to pronounce those names. I'm like, oh, who don't do it? No, I confess I may do that in genealogies. I'm like, oh, okay. But obviously these are people that are known to Paul and are loved by him. And we've been looking at this as, I think, probably the most, all right, what did I do with myself here? Yes. Encouraging to me is to look at this as being not only Paul's commendations, but also the Holy Spirit's commendation. And to think in regards that someday the Lord is going to have a greeting, a salutation for us as well. And that we are impacting that salutation on the basis of the choices that we are making in this life. And so I think that is a very powerful thought. And so we've looked at what is a greeting. It's a warm embrace. So it's a way by which we verbally embrace someone, say, brother, I love you. I appreciate, I respect you, I honor you. A salute is a form of honor to that person. So we ought to do that to each other. And we ought to do it in such a way that I think it's beneficial. I think it's something, you know, there's something about it where it just, not as a contrivance, but as the emotion of your heart when you see someone that you love, that you respond to them. And I just saw today, you know, someone saw them and they said, hey, bro. You know, it was two ladies. No, it wasn't. But no, it was just that there was a moment of endearment and there was a secret handshake. And I mean, it was authentic. It was real. But no, it's just that there's an element that just when you love somebody, you see them, it comes out in the moment. Your face lights up. And you delight in them. And so the Lord wants us to do that. And I think there's some real benefits when you think about someone. You say, you know, I think about it today. I mean, I said, I'm going to see people. I'm going through your minds. And you are going through my mind. I'm not going through your mind. And I'm thinking of Christian greetings in regards to that and say, oh, yeah, beloved. Fellow laborer, oh yes. You know, just the things that we have here to help us understand the tie and the bind that we have and how that in just in our greeting, we can knit our hearts one to another. And so that's an important aspect of what we're looking at here. And so we've seen the things that are noteworthy, the relationship that we have to the Lord, the work that Christians are doing, the suffering that a Christian does on behalf of the Lord. And there's an interesting aspect. You think about when you think about suffering, what that means for this beloved Joshua Sullivan, he will forever have this on his resume, you might say, upon his life, a badge upon his experience that he suffered for the Lord. And that's not just in this life, but for all of eternity. And when you think about what it means to be counted worthy, to suffer for his name. There is something, God's going to note it. You look at Revelation, you look at the churches that suffered, he noted it, it was important. And there, it gets to a place where you understand the value of that, you may not necessarily pray so hard not to suffer. Not, please Lord, keep me in a place of perfect pleasure. Let my tranquility never be disturbed. Maybe that's not the heart the Lord wants us to have. May I be a testimony to his name. May God use me any way that he sees fit. And this helps us to, when you take away the not the fear of suffering, but there is something about when you fear the Lord, you don't fear suffering. But when you take away some of that apprehension you have in your heart, when God says, I want you to go to Africa, and you go, anything but there. Why? Because I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer deprivation. I don't want to have to go, I don't want to give up the things that I have in this life. Now, I think there's an aspect that we want to make sure that if we have to say, you know, there's an opportunity. An opportunity for honor and glory to the Lord in that place. And, well, go to the Middle East. There's a real opportunity for honor and glory for the Lord in many places. Indonesia. How many million? 200 million people not allowed to evangelize for the gospel. There's a real opportunity for glory, for note, for distinction. Where are the days when men would say, no, put me at the front of the battle. I want an opportunity to fight. I want an opportunity for honor, for distinction, for my country. How about we say for our Lord? And so it's a wonderful privilege. And then we see here the special bonds. Five times in these verses do we see this element of beloved. Oh, before I get there, I wanted to share something. Well, we can pull it in here. Verse 12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. We somehow missed those names. We could have used those somehow. Those are pretty. I know. That's pretty. That's those sweet names right there. Tryphena and Tryphosa. If we had twins, there we go. Who labor in the Lord, salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Now, I didn't point this out last time. I didn't even notice it last time. But going back over, I was like, oh, that's significant. There's a difference between the words labor. Do you see it? You could have spotted. Present and past. Yes. Good. Just one little word there. I'm one little letter. Or two letters, probably. Let me look at it. Yeah, ED. Labor and labored. So there's an element that these, Tryphena and Tryphosa, are in the present, ongoing. They right now are laboring. But beloved Persis, her labor has finished. Why is her labor finished? I think she's still alive, so he wants to greet her. She's still there. She's in the church. But her labor is considered past tense because she's older. She's aged. And she's like, oh, the beloved Persis, that dear, sweet lady who has labored all her life in the Lord and labored much. Why does he mention much? Because it's a lifetime of labor. There's an element that says, wow, that's beautiful. I think we have some beloved Persis here in terms of not that labor's ended, but there's an aspect, it's not unusual for someone to come to me and say, Pastor, I'm going to let the young people have a chance. You know, I thank the Lord for the older folks who are still engaged in those things, but God leads, and there's an element of you know what you can do and what you can't do in the Lord. And as I emphasize in terms of when it comes to intercession and prayer, none of our labor is over. But in some aspect here, this lady, still alive, was very beloved because she had labored much in the past tense. So it's just a beautiful aspect. You get to see some of these windows into things. You see verse 7. I just want to point out a few of these because we're really trying to deal with the first 6 through 16 first, and then we're going to work back towards the beginning of the chapter. He says, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. So here they were in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? Be saved. All right, so they got saved before Paul. So the apostle Paul got saved in A.D. 37. Roughly thereabouts. Jesus died somewhere in terms of AD 30, between that, AD 32, you know, lots of different aspects of how you count that up. We can't be exact in that regard. But some in that aspect, the Apostle Paul was persecuting the church. There was a period of time there, and then he got saved. And these people, this couple right here, because there's a little bit of discrepancy, but I do think it probably Junia is a woman's name, though they're not entirely sure about that. But that would make this a couple. And so they got saved before the Apostle Paul. Were they saved in Jesus' ministry? Were they saved in the early church? We don't know, but it's possible. And there's an aspect that he says, my kinsmen. Meaning, probably, that they were of the same nationality as him. They were Jews. Early Jews who had trusted in Christ, and you know what happened to them? They were put in prison. They were fellow prisoners. What happened after the gospel went forth? What did Paul help lead upon the church? Persecution. So he was a leader of the persecution. Here might be some of these, and he's like, oh, man, you can see him, my kinsmen. Oh, my fellow, what have they done? The family relationship in the Lord, that relationship that he has in terms of going so far back. And he says, who are of note among the apostles? All the way back when the apostles were meeting in the early church, these two were of note and distinction even then for their willingness to suffer, for their sacrifice for the Lord. Beautiful, beautiful aspect. And God had led them in time to be in Rome. Paul knew them, and he wanted them to be greeted for this element. I think that's a few that I wanted to highlight here. Let's go back to the aspect of beloved. There's an aspect that says, what makes someone beloved? There's an element that says, if you look at this, let's go down to, verse 5. He says, middle of the verse, salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Okay, so this one right here, the first instant, I think, maybe of the term beloved, it's not even beloved, it's well-beloved, and there's a reason why he's well-beloved. What is the distinction? He's the first fruits. What's that mean? Yes. He got saved. The Apostle Paul led this man to the Lord, and he was one of the very first that got saved in Achaia. Isn't that neat? Yes. Yeah, I think there's an... I do have a note on that too. So, yeah, in the footnote, yeah. So, and because it says in my footnote, it says literally, I'd have to go back and look at it specifically. I'd have to look at the word before I pontificate because I couldn't. So, but it's good. I'm sure that there's a possibility that AKI is as a region or section, but I have to, something tell me I need to look that up just to make sure. So. So, it's really neat. I mean, I'm going to ask Doug, is Nick beloved to you? Yeah. Think about someone you've led to the Lord. Are they beloved to you? Absolutely. There's a special bond that comes from someone who receives the gospel from you and receives that. Okay, so there's an element here of, I want to give you three things. If you said, man, I wish I want to be closer to that believer. I want to be closer to that person. Here are three things that you can do. And I'm telling you, you don't have to do all three of them. Most of the time, you just have to do one of them. And you will knit your heart to that fellow believer. Okay, the first thing is, receive their ministry. What makes that believer, now this man, so well beloved? What is that connection, that bond that they have? Because when he came and preached the gospel, he received it. And if somebody has a ministry to you, and you receive that ministry thankfully, and you relate to them and say, this is how God used you in my life. Thank you so much. You can express gratitude. Anything you can express gratitude for someone else is part of the ministry that they're having to you. It can be something very simple. It could be a word of encouragement. It could be an exhortation. It can be an act of service on your behalf. It can be a teaching ministry to you. It can be a preaching ministry to you. It can be all kinds of different things. Whatever is being done in the church, because we all have gifts and we're all ministering to one another. And if you just receive what that person, the gift that the Lord has, and you let them know, you'll be beloved. There are people in this church. I look around and say, who are the beloved? You say, well, you should beloved everybody. Yes, but there are special bonds that take place. There's an aspect of there ought to be no favoritism in terms of a church. That's a reality that has to be understood. But there's an aspect. There are special bonds that are created, and it happens. Somebody comes for counseling, and they say, you know what, Pastor, I want to do that. Please pray for me. Follow up with me. Help me in that. And they do what they're saying, and they follow me. They are obedient to the Lord. Beloved, someone who hears the word preached with attentiveness and desire that's growing and saying, it's not And again, I say, I'm making it personalized here. I always say, I'm never looking for a good message, Pastor, though that's a very kind thing to say. But I'm looking for people who love the Word. If someone comes up beside me and says, let's look at the Word together, Pastor, you're my friend. Because two friends stand side by side and look at something else. You look at every friend you have in your life, and it's always you share a common interest, a common bond, a common desire. And that's what brings you together. Friends don't look at each other and face in the face and say, I love you. That's an intimacy for another relationship. That's a different kind of love. But there's a friendship love that really is actually love. If we talked about each other in terms of our affection for each other, that would actually distract from the friendship, because the friendship is over the common source of interest. And so I am, as a pastor, desperate. I am hungry for people who love the Word, who want to receive it and learn from it and say, I want to know this book. I want to know this Bible with all of my heart. That's my passion. I'll keep being my passion until the day I die, Lord willing. And that's just the way God's wired me, my gifting in regards to that. So, say all that, receive a minister, and you're beloved. Number two, minister to them. You say, well, I don't know, what minister are they doing for me? Well, I don't know. Okay, you go minister to them. You find a way to say, you know what, I'm going to take some of my time and spend it with them. I'm gonna go over and give them a word of encouragement. I'm going to do something that would cause them to want to say thank you to me. Okay? So there's an element that says, whoa, I don't have to wait for someone to minister to me. I can go and seek out that person and minister to them. That will knit your hearts. And the third thing is, minister alongside each other. You see this over and over again, this element of fellow laborers, beloved because they were helpers. And so some of these people ministered to Paul, some of these people received Paul's ministry, and some of them stood side by side and labored in the work of the Lord. And we're going to see some of this in terms of the commendation here for two particular ones that are mentioned. And that's in verses 3 and 4. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. So here they are. The Apostle Paul thought, man, I love these folks. Because everywhere he turned, if he needed someone to help in the work, they were there. Did you know that even a job that you don't need help doing? Let's say you're going to go out and you're going to weed your garden. You could do the whole thing yourself. But if someone comes out and starts weeding it alongside of you, it just feels like it goes a whole lot faster, doesn't it? And it's no longer work, it's labor together. And there's something wonderful, something beautiful about that. And so there's an element that says, you know, it's no one in the church ought to labor alone. Now, we all have a ministry, and God's given us particular aspects of outreach, but there is an aspect that says God wants us to come alongside and say, I'm going to labor alongside of you, brother, sister. I'm going to help you. You see someone in there doing the dishes after a family snack that we might have or something. Someone comes in, stands beside them, helps them, talks to them, blesses them. You know, that's a real valuable aspect of ministering. You ought to say, what's going on in the church? What is the church trying to accomplish for the glory of God? And if you said nothing, it would be a problem, wouldn't there? If we as a church are not trying to do something, not engaged in some activity, then that's a problem, right? I mean, everybody, there's an element that says, you say, that shouldn't happen. The church ought to be doing something. There's an aspect, I had a great opportunity to witness to a man, and this is a good point for me to bring up. I want to encourage you in this. He went to the Awana back here. And his name is Heath, and he's down there near Uniontown. And he is open to coming to our church and to hearing the gospel because of the ministry that was had to him 20 and 30 years ago. And that's what's so encouraging. That'll encourage all of us who are laboring now, especially in kids' ministry, that you are preparing the ground for future gospel witness. I encourage him. He said, they're not doing Awana anymore? Oh, that was horrible, horrible. I mean, I didn't say it to her. I didn't even think of it at the time, but I thought about it later. I said, well, you know what? Some of those kids never came back and carried on the Awana ministry. Well, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? What would happen around here that you would be upset that it stopped and yet you don't participate in it? If it just completely cut off and we never did it again, you would say, that's not right. The church ought to do that. And yet you don't participate in it. I'm not saying you have to do everything, but you ought to have a service, a ministry in this church for the Lord. I'm being pointed about that. I'm being a prickly pear pastor about that because we looked at it last time. Fear the Lord, walk in His ways, love Him, and serve Him with all your heart. There are actions that we ought to do. And I believe, personally, my theology leads me to the thought that it's not work that you do for the Lord outside the local church. It's work you do for the Lord in the local church. That's what God wants to do. So I'm making a passionate plea for more fellow laborers. Come alongside. Join. Participate. God will note it, and you will never regret it all your life for the Lord. So, good. Priscilla and Aquila, a godly couple. Praise God for godly couples. And it doesn't mean that someone who's single cannot serve the Lord. In fact, we're going to find out that Phoebe, the last one we're going to look at, is a lady who has no husband in her life. For all notes and purposes, that seems to be the case. So there's an element that, you know, I'm not saying that we don't know if she's widowed. We don't know if she was single all her life. We don't know if her husband's not participating. But we just know that this woman is in need of church's financial support and protection. So that's going to enter into aspects. So please don't take one. Sometimes I'm talking over here on one way and people are hearing a different way. I don't mean to any way negate something, but I just want to encourage and lift up and say, when you've got what God wants is a godly couple that works together in tandem to serve the Lord, that is a tremendous blessing. What do they call it? They call it force multiplier. A full force multiplier is someone who is more than what, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 = 10. It's like God does something wonderful for that. And it ought to be you know what Satan wants to do? He wants to tear apart homes. He wants there to be marital strife because he knows how God can use a family home and a godly husband and wife who love each other and serve the Lord together. What are this aspect of Priscilla and Aquila? Let's go through the timeline of their lives and we'll weave this in together here with them. We know from Acts chapter 18, verse 2, that it says that they were in Rome and they had to flee from Rome because of the persecution. Now, in Rome, there was a persecution underneath Claudius, and that was not because of Christians. It was specifically targeting Jews. Can't remember exactly what was the crisis that took place there, but they blamed it on the Jews, and all of them had to leave and flee from the city of Rome. They couldn't even be anywhere in the city. And so Priscilla and Aquila were at that place, and they left, and through the difficulty, they came to Corinth, and it's where they met Paul. We don't know for certain, but it seems like Paul may have been the one who led them to the Lord. And he ministered alongside of them. What was their occupation? They were tent makers. So wherever they went, they could go and make tents. And the Apostle Paul, in his background, working with his dad, he said, that was what I did growing up. And Paul met them at a time when he came to Corinth, God personally met him and said, Paul, don't be afraid. He had been beaten. He had been stoned. He had been rejected. He had been run out of every single town. And he finally came to Corinth and he was shaken. Corinthians describes his own attitude of how he was low in spirits. And God had placed the sentence of death upon him. He was in a dire strait. And here this couple meets him, either receiving his ministry in the Lord or partnering with him in ministry or some way, but they encouraged him. And the Apostle Paul was there for about 18 months. And they were active actively involved in the growing church at Corinth. Then they traveled with Paul to Ephesus, and they accompanied Paul to Ephesus when Paul left. They stayed there to continue their ministry. We find them in Acts 18 that they're still in Ephesus when Apollos comes through. And he's this Jewish orator who knows about the Old Testament but doesn't know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wisely, you know, it takes some real wisdom for some people that are, I mean, you think about Apollos. He was the golden tongue preacher. He was the one that everybody oohed and awed to how he put everything together. And it was just like, wow. He was noted for his wisdom and just that aspect of things. And so yet, he still needed instruction. And Priscilla and Aquila, they expounded to him the way of the Lord more perfectly. And they gave it, and he received it. So it's a beautiful aspect of, I think, the wisdom that they had as a godly couple to approach this man and to present the gospel in such a way that was receivable, palatable to him. And God used them in a mighty way. And we find out that in Corinth, Paul writes to them and he says, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that's in their house." So he's writing from Ephesus, the Apostle Paul, to Corinthians, and he says, like, the brethren, I mean Priscilla and Aquila, they want to greet you and all the people that are in their house. So they've opened up their home. There's an aspect of probably means that they were probably well-to-do. A lot of times they would meet in the house of, like we would do. If we had to meet in someone's house, what would we do? We would go to someone who has the most room, someone who has a bigger house. So that was probably an indication, or someone who's willing to vacuum after us. So someone who's willing to go through the sacrifice, but they were. They were willing to let other people into their lives. Then they would return to Rome, and they would also, now the Apostle Paul is writing them, and they're in Rome. And he's addressing them, and you see this, he says, "Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." So they had a house at Ephesus, they opened it up for the church. They had a house in Rome, they opened it up for the church. They wanted to be used, and probably were leaders in regards to that, in establishing that church. And then we find in, they returned to Ephesus to help Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, greets Timothy, who is in Ephesus at the time, says, "Salute Priscilla and Aquilas and the household of Onesimus." And he says that they laid down their necks for me. And so they were portable. They didn't lay down roots. Wherever God wanted to go, Apostle Paul's going there, we'll go there, we'll help you. Oh, you need someone to stay? We'll stay. Oh, you need someone to go help Timothy? We'll go help Timothy. They were willing to do whatever was necessary. They were willing to teach others, to open up their home. They were faithful. They were sacrificial. And he says right here, "Not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles." What about what region of the Gentiles? Doesn't specify. Their ministry was so broad and so extensive that wherever they went, they helped and ministered in the work of the Lord. And say, I want to be a couple like that. I want to be used in that regard. That's what God sets before us. And if you're not a couple, come back next time and look at Phoebe. And she gets first acknowledgement. A lady from the very beginning, and we'll find out how God used her and her sacrifice and service for the Lord. So, all right, well, you're dismissed. Thank you.